Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, as we continue the study on angels. The Encouraging Word. One of the exciting things at this particular time of year, July, not December, is that sometimes we limit our understanding to what angels do and how they, in God's creation, kind of affect the world around us. You'll discover more as we open the book of Acts to chapter 12 in just a moment with Dr. Don Wilton. But you need to know our phone lines are open as well. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, connect you with great resources like the wonderful The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times message that's available right now. You can find it online at tewonline.org or call for your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. But let's open God's Word together now with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to read to you the story this morning from Acts chapter 12. And we are studying at this point in time what angels do. Now, I want to pick up in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. And I'm going to show you something rather interesting. And if you'll beg my pardon this morning, I would like to stop every once in a while, because there's so much in this particular passage. Now, before we do read this, I'd like you to just all look at me for a second. I want to remind you that the Acts of the Apostles, where we're about to read, has to do with the beginning of the New Testament church. Now, remember, the Lord Jesus came to this earth, and he ministered upon the earth, and then he was crucified. On the third day, he rose again, and then after some time, appearing to over 500 people, Jesus rose, and he ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And here everybody had seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had been in his company, and he had been such a blessing to them. And all of a sudden, here he was leaving. And so he turned to his disciples over the period of his ministry, and he said, "Listen, I'm going to do a number of things for you. One of those things is I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And my Holy Spirit is going to come down." That's what Acts chapter 2 is all about. That's the inauguration of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it's called Pentecost. It's when the Spirit of God came down, and God has given to us his Spirit, and he is with us today. Another thing that God has given to us, in the absence of the Lord Jesus per se, he's given us his church. Just look around us. What you see here today is not something that happened by accident. Mankind didn't say, you know, let's just kind of get ourselves together. This is the house of the Lord. This is God's church. This is where people come together to study God's word and to fellowship with one another and to meet with God in his presence and to be built up and equipped in our lives as we go about our daily chores. And God has given to us his church. God has also given to us his angels. And what happens here in Acts chapter 12, as it does right throughout the book of the Acts, we're going back to the future, which is our overriding series. When we got to angels, we had to interrupt it and decide what it was that God was saying about angels. Because the interesting thing is this, my friends, that angels have a very vital role to play in the functioning and the working of the New Testament church. I'm here today to tell you that God is working amongst God's people like you and me today. He's working by his Spirit. He's working through people. He's working through circumstances. He's working through his word. He's working in so many different ways. But it's interesting to note that at the building and the beginning of the New Testament church, that God uses his angels. Well, let's see what he does right here in this particular passage. I'm reading from verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. All right, let's stop right there. I'd like to preach there for the next 3 or 4 weeks. I warned you, folks, there's so much in God's Word. God's Word is a never-ending reservoir of the grace of God. You will never get to the bottom of it. I mean, the more you dig, The more you tap into the Word of God, the deeper you're going to have to go, because you're going to be tapping into His eternal grace. Now, the Bible says that Peter was kept in prison. By the way, I wonder how many people here today are in prison. Wonder how many people looking at me this morning by way of television and right here in this beautiful sanctuary. I wonder how many of us are in prison. You say, now, Pastor, come on, I'm not behind bars. I haven't been convicted of a crime, nor was Peter. Peter wasn't convicted of a crime. He was behind bars physically, but there are many ways in which you and I find ourselves in prison. Physically, we can be in prison. There are people who are facing most untoward circumstances. Sometimes you can be married and be in prison. Marriage can run haywire and get out of whack and can become a very unhappy place to be. Sometimes our relationships with one another can cause us to live a prison, confined existence. Sometimes the worry we have, the financial decisions, our businesses, even sometimes our ministries can be prison experiences. We find ourselves, as it were, incarcerated. And I want to show you something very interesting here, because Peter was in prison and God immediately begins to invoke this thing called the New Testament church. And he gives the church a very unique role to play. He says here, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Now, watch what happens here. This is just incredible. Here's Peter. He's physically, literally in prison. He's done nothing wrong. He's in prison because of his faith. The church is over here. The church, God's people, begin to pray, and they begin to say, Lord, would you do something for Peter? Now, folks, back there in Palestine, those prisons were pretty miserable places. Most of the prisons were literally holes dug in the ground. They were deep holes, and most prisoners were let down into these holes by virtue of a rope or a chain. They were dark places. They didn't have fluorescent lights. They didn't have computer screens that would provide some kind of illumination. They were dark, dingy, smelly, stinky little holes with no sanitation whatsoever. And these prisoners were let down. Guards would stand on top of these holes, as it were, and many times, historians tell us that prisoners who were put in prison in the time of Peter, they were not only put into those holes, but they were shackled. They had chains and all kinds of things. They were treated most barbarously. I mean, it was just an awful, horrid type of situation to be in. You want to talk about human rights, folks? This was the ultimate abuse of human rights. I want you to note what happened here. Because God's people began to pray, and guess what God did? God sent an angel. I like that. God sent an angel. Now, what could God have done? God could have done anything. God could have said, you're out of here, and Peter would have been out of there. God could have caused an earthquake, and the place where he was confined could have collapsed and he could have walked out. In fact, that happened in other places in Scripture. God could have sent one of the centurions there, or one of the prison guards. He could have converted him to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that man could have set him free, just as we read in other places. God could have done anything God wanted to do, but God chose to send an angel. Now watch what happens when this angel comes. The Bible says in verse 6 that the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping, watch his incarceration here, between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. We're going to talk about that later on. How did this light come about? And one of the things we're going to discover is that angels are bearers of light, both symbolically and physically, both spiritually and practically. Just excuse me. By the way, have you ever heard anybody say, I saw a light, I sensed a presence, and there was a light? Watch this. Watch what happens here. The word says in the second part of verse 7 there, the word says that he struck Peter on the side. Now that's something else we've got to get into these angels. I need a few of those angels some mornings when I need to get up. Struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Now watch what he says. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, Peter, put your clothes and sandals on. So Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. So Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing and what was really happening. In fact, he thought he was seeing a vision. That's no surprise if you understand the book of Hebrews. They passed the first and the second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. And they went through it. And when they had walked the length of the street, suddenly the angel left him. Now, I'm going to come back to this in just a moment. But I want to remind you of something, folks. Angels operate one job at a time at the express commandment of God. As we began to look at this issue of what angels do, I shared with you two things. Number one, angels give direction. Number two, angels wait for orders. Number three, write this down. Angels follow orders immediately.
This is The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Forgive the interruption. We'll be back in just a moment with more of What Angels Do, this series on angels from Dr. Don. But that sense of immediacy, the way the angels respond to God's instruction. I know that you and I may not call each other angels, but would that not be an angelic attribute we need to aspire for, to respond to God in such a way that it's not, I hear you, God, and I'll do it in a minute, but to immediately respond. I don't know what you're dealing with right now, but I do know that as a part of the body of Christ, we have discovered, especially in this unique time of separation, that having an opportunity to pray with someone on the phone has become a tremendous blessing for many of us, me included. If you'd like to talk with someone, pray with someone, give us a call. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. We would love to connect with you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Angels follow orders immediately. Seems a long time now, but I was in the Army. And I've got a confession to make to you. We had a staff sergeant there in the Army by the name of Staff Sergeant Tiernison. He was a Dutchman. When we went into the Army, boot camp went on for 6 months. It was a long, horrible period of time that I don't particularly like to think about too much. Staff Tiernison is our staff sergeant who was in charge of our particular battalion. And I'm here to tell you, folks, he was the meanest, ugliest, most foul-mouthed individual that I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, I've never heard a man, that man could cuss for what seemed like 10 minutes without taking a breath and without saying anything but a cuss word. I mean, one of the things that he taught us to do was to obey his commands. And I tell you, we would be out there on maneuvers in that bush and jungle and so on, and he would say to us, hit the deck. And when he said, hit the deck, folks, it meant you hit the deck. You know what I'm saying? Now, when he said, hit the deck, you didn't just say, in just a moment, if you don't mind, where can I put this thing because it's going to break my nose if I do it anymore. And these hand grenades, I'm not going to fall down with these things. Mm-mm. And so I'm going to just take them off and lay them over here. Then I'm going to find myself a nice little piece of grass over here. And let me see. Oh, this will do. I think, okay, thank you, staff, so much. I'll hit the deck. Folks, when Staff Tiernison said hit the deck, it meant, now, do you know something? About 6 months later, I found myself in a real situation. And we used to hear these whistling sounds. We came to know them as bombs. And you know something, folks? I will never forget the one day when I was climbing up on my tank. And a tank is a big thing. And I just got to the turret and I heard a little whistling sound. And it wasn't someone playing Three Blind Mice somewhere. And I heard Staff Tennyson yell, "Hit the deck." And folks, I hit the deck from the top of a tank turret down to the bottom in one move, and so did all the rest of us. And I'm here to tell you something, that I really believe that one of the reasons I'm still alive today was that I learned what it meant to obey orders immediately. Angels obey orders immediately. You do not find instances in Scripture where God speaks and the angel says, "Now, Lord, could we have a little conversation about this?" You know, I'm not so quite sure whether Steve's ready to hear this yet. Or, you know, I just don't know whether this is going to be the best thing. Could we kind of hold back for a little while? Angels obey orders immediately. I want you to turn with me in the Old Testament to 1 Chronicles and chapter 21. Everyone turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I want to show you something really quite remarkable. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Now I'm going to read to you just a few verses of Scripture here. I wish I had time to put this into context this morning, because the Old Testament is so filled with the activities of angels, with what angels do. But I'm going to pick up there at verse 13 of 1 Chronicles 21, dealing with David. David said to Gad, "I am in deep distress." Remember, Peter was in prison. Here David is in deep distress. "I am in deep distress. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall into the hands of men." So the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem. Can you believe that? The beloved city. But as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it, what was going on, and was grieved because of the calamity, and he said to the angel who was destroying the people, "Enough! Withdraw your hand." The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arnunah the Jebusite. David looked up. Now look at this. David looked up, and what did he see? He saw the angel of the Lord literally standing between heaven and earth with a drawn sword in his hand extended over Jerusalem. And so the story goes on and on. Verse 18, the angel of the Lord ordered Gad to tell David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of the Jebusite. God's angel, waiting for express command from Almighty God to be about the activities that God has in store for his people. Let me tell you a couple of things here about this. There are three basic fundamental truths that we need to come to grips with about angels following the orders of God immediately. Number one, what God is trying to tell us here is that angels constantly accompany God. They constantly accompany God. Now we're going to discover this is, it's a wonderful thing. It's really quite fascinating. Everywhere we find God moving in his activity, when we come down to eschatology, the doctrine of last things, as we've studied in Daniel, as we've studied in the book of Revelation, and we will again, you're going to find that God is constantly surrounded by literally millions upon millions upon millions of angels. They accompany God. They are, if you please, God's entourage. They are God's heavenly escort. And they are there numbering the millions. We're going to look at that, how many angels there are. We're going to discover you can't number them. There are so many of them. But millions upon millions upon millions of angels literally surround the throne of God, and they accompany God wherever he goes. Now, why do the angels in their millions accompany God? Well, it's a simple reason. Because angels are not the Holy Spirit. Angels are not omnipresent. They cannot be everywhere at the same time. Angels are not omnipotent. They are not all powerful. Angels are not omniscient. They cannot be everywhere. They do not know everything. Angels serve one function at one time according to the express call of God upon their lives. So it is literally God in His divine wisdom. If He wants something done in the life of Steve Skinner and it's related to a specific point in time, God says to His angels, "Angel, I want you to go down. I want you to minister to Steve. I want you to do this. I want you to do that." Now, here's the question. Is it possible that God sometimes chooses not to do that? Yes. Does God always send His angels to protect us? Nope. Sometimes He chooses not to. You see, friends, that's what the will of God is. That's what it means to know and to do the will of God. The whole emphasis is on God. It's not on us. The whole emphasis is on what God wants, not what we want. And God works because God wants to work. God sends because God wants to send. God protects because God wants to protect. God doesn't have to do anything. God is God, and God acts according to who God is, because God is sovereign. He is God. That's why. You can turn on your television sets today, and I say this most respectfully, even the matter of healing. Folks, there are many television programs today that have just become nothing but a joke. They are entertainment centers. Many of them are centered around so-called faith healing that are making some people awfully wealthy and are drawing unbelievable crowds because it is visible, because it is void of the expression of the faith of God. Listen to me, friend. The Bible doesn't teach that I am healed by virtue of the quality of my faith. The Bible says I'm healed by virtue of who God is. The Bible teaches divine healing, not faith healing. If I'm going to be healed because of my faith, I'm never going to get healed. I don't have that kind of faith. I get healed because I pray and I speak to God. I have been given permission by Almighty God in His divine righteousness to approach the throne of grace with boldness. Who are these angels? Well, they accompany God, but note in the second place, they work for God. They don't only accompany God, they work for God. Now, I'm going to say this very respectfully. You ready for this? Angels are the ultimate gophers. Go for this, go for that. I mean, they are the ultimate gophers. That's what angels are in God's scheme of things. They stand there. They're ready to serve Him. They work for God. Can I just say one word to people here who have businesses? You have a business of any kind. Doesn't matter what it is, in teaching or business or industry or accounting or motor vehicles, doesn't matter what it is, but you have some kind of business. Could we just say a word here for a moment? You want to know what the key is to a successful business. A successful business is one where all the employees work for the employer. You want to run a successful business, you make sure that the people who work around you are working for you. You want to make sure that your business runs into trouble? You have one or two people in your business who are paddling in a different direction. And watch what happens. You'll have discontentment. You'll have hurt, pain. You will have all kinds of opposition. Your profits will go down. You'll suffer losses. There'll be malcontentedness and discontentedness. There will be all kinds of disunity and disruption. I want you to know something, friends. It is a basic premise of leadership in life. You want to ever do anything, make sure that you surround yourself with eagles who can fly higher than yourself and who are literal gophers in a literal spiritual sense of the word, that you're all on the same page, paddling in the same direction, sitting in the same canoe, going down the same river, and watch what happens. Be very careful when you hire people to work for you, that they don't have their own agenda. They have their own agenda, you're not going to go anywhere in a hurry. It doesn't work. God is surrounded by his angels who demonstrate to us the ultimate essentials of Christian discipleship. Friend, listen to me. God's angels are about discipleship. They are about accompanying God. God says that when we belong to him, we need to accompany him wherever he goes. Number two, they are about working for God. We are the called out ones to work alongside him. And number three, they wait on God. Now watch this, folks. This is incredible. Do you know what the angels do more than anything else? That's what they do. The angels wait for God. Do you know one of the greatest struggles that I have as a pastor? Right there. Waiting on God. We have cultivated a society today, my friends, where busyness is a mark of spirituality. The more busy we are, the more actively engaged we are, the more spiritual we become. God says we need to wait on him. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. We need to withdraw. We need to get alone with God. We need to speak to God. We need to plead with God. We need to open ourselves an opportunity for God to speak to us. Have you been waiting on the Lord? That's a mark of true Christian discipleship, is withdrawing and saying, Lord, please speak to me.
As we cry out to God, as we open our hearts and our minds to him, our spirits to him, I pray that you would take one moment before we get away and hear this very important invitation from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow.
If God has stirred your heart, won't you give us a call and let us pray with you about the next steps? Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We stand ready to talk with you, pray with you, connect with great resources. Many of those resources can be found online as well at tewonline.org. It's also a place to discover what we call encouragers, friends that are helping financially and prayerfully support the ministry of the Encouraging Word.
Have you been praying about how you can make a difference in the world? We would love to have you join us by becoming an Encourager Ministry Partner. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. There is no greater gift that you can give than to help spread the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but we're still connecting online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org or 866-899-9673.